Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 213 of Nerd Pride Radio. 213, Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment number. 213, also the name of a hip-hop group consisting of Snoop Dogg, Warren G, and Nate Dogg. So named for downtown Los Angeles, area code 213. Ask me how I'm doing today.
How are you doing?
No, go on, ask me.
How you doing?
I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I'm a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Ooh, my sponsor this week is Cronish Laboratories, saving humanity one dead possum at a time. All right, before we get into anything, that's right, it's time for yet another installment in my all-too-frequent segment, Mike Was Wrong! Yeah, first off, I said my brother was born in 77. I was wrong. He was born in 76, and then we adopted him in 77. I was off by a year, fortunately. My loving mother called me and let me know so I could set it straight right here. The other thing I was wrong about, is this is one of those things, I've been sick long enough that, you know, you get used to saying that, oh yeah, I've been sick for a month, I've been sick for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and it seems like the time that I've been sick grows faster than time actually passes, and so for a while I've been saying I've been sick for 2 months, whereas actually it's 2 months like this weekend, so I got sick like the weekend we went to Ponca State Park for Hallowfest, and so it's been 2 months now.
Wait, that's when you got sick?
That's when I got sick, Ponca. So,
okay.
Wait, really? You've
yes.
Been sick that?
Yes,
oh
I've been
God,
sick
you've
that.
You've been living torture.
Yes, living torture.
I got
thus,
sick before it.
Thus, the sound that I'm hoping turned out. I tried recording it, but when I sleep at night, there's a wheezing noise at the back of my throat from the congestion that as it echoes in my own head sounds like a thousand damned souls trying to escape from hell all at once. It's like this chorus of pain and damnation and suffering, and that's what I fall asleep to. And so I tried recording it right before the silence, and if it turns out, if it picks up on the mic at all, then I'll go ahead and insert it here, but I don't know if it turned out because, man, it's intense. Okay. Anyway, also before we get started, it's time for a little meta talk.
Oppenheimer!
That's right. Meta talk is where I pull back the curtain a little bit, do some inside baseball, open the kimono. You know how it goes.
Inside baseball?
Yeah. Behind the scenes stuff. So, talk about the podcast, the website, behind the scenes. So, here we go. Under my kimono is, look, I know it's been 2 weeks. I didn't do a podcast last week. I have been so sick. It finally got to the lowest of the low points, and I took this whole week off work.
Except for one day where he came home and just immediately passed out.
Yeah, I went to work. I went to work one day and then had to come home early because I just couldn't do it. I haven't updated Paranoia all week. I feel bad for them. It's been a week and a half since anything's happened in Paranoia. I've done zero work on Godball. I have a worst movie tournament going on that I got two posts into and then completely abandoned because I just have no energy. So I feel bad. And so now, even though it's been 2 weeks, I've prepared nothing. So I'm just now today, I saw the doc again this morning, just now today feeling well enough that I can start recording again. And I don't know how long it's going to last because the coughing keeps coming and going. So
he's dying. Not enough of you are believing in him. I believe in Mike.
This is the part where you applaud.
I believe in Mike.
Only your applause will save me. So, anyway. So that's the meta talk. So I have nothing prepared. There is no meticulously plotted portion of the podcast this week. I'm going to do all this update and opening stuff. And then Noah's got one little bit, and then we're going to go straight into the Pod-O-Matic. So
Pod-O-Matic.
So, that's it.
You weren't supposed to tell me of my secret entrance.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, Noah has nothing. Pretend I never said that. He's got nothing at all. He's worthless to me. All right. But I do have... That's right. It's a little feedback. So
that noise hurts my ears.
Yeah, well...
I wish you wouldn't play it live every time we recorded.
Yeah, or when I need to wake you up every morning. Let's see. Okay, here it is. Feedback. That's what I'm doing. God, see, I'm so scatterbrained. This is, first off... from Nelly. Nelly replied to episode 195 on Facebook.
Aren't we a little behind schedule on answering this one?
Well, Nelly also hasn't been pitching in during Listener Betrayal for a few weeks, so I assume she's been busy or sick or overwhelmed or, yeah, who knows, some combination of things. And so everyone gets those, and then it takes them a while to get caught back up to things. But she replied to episode 195. And what she said was, oh, hey, Mike. Hey, that's me. On the note of movies that make fun of a thing or enjoy a thing, thus it is funny. See, now that's actually just from the last episode.
Is it?
So, yeah. Maybe she just grabbed the wrong thread to reply to. See? There you go.
She dug quite a bit in the archive to get there, though.
Right. Well, it just may have been the first one that that popped up for her when she did a search. So... have you heard about Cards Against Humanity? Talk about how they make their cards. No, I haven't. Their general rule is to punch up, not down. See, that's a rule I know. That means that when they make a card they think is funny, they test it with a ton of the existing cards to see how they work. They always want to punch up and never down. Generally, this means if a joke is about a minority, they want to punch up the victim and never down. If there's a joke about gay people, for example, they want to make them come up positively out of the joke, not negatively. They often do this a lot with sarcasm. Anyways, that is what your feeling about the trailer reminded me of. It seems like the Orville is punch. Oh no, I did talk about the Orville way back in 195 or somewhere around there. So it seems like the Orville is punching down, but Galaxy Quest is punching up. Yeah, see, that's exactly my feeling. Is that
which when you're doing a parody, I don't feel that punching down in any way adds anything.
Yeah, not all. Yeah, to just mock something because you think it sucks.
Right.
Which, and that's the thing, is that I know Seth MacFarlane loves Star Trek. I know he loves it. He adores Star Trek. And thus, the only reason I can think of that he seems to be, in, as you're phrasing it here, punching down, is that I think he's afraid of sincerity. Because he is Seth MacFarlane, and I think he's always got to have that cynical hipster take to back himself up, so that it doesn't look like he's a sucker for something. That he doesn't want to be caught taking something seriously. And I'm hoping that because Yancey's been watching The Orville, and the couple of things he's told me about it have me intrigued. I watched the first episode, and I wasn't thrilled. It was not all that funny, but I think also the first episode of The Orville was because it was so much exposition. There was so much explaining who all the characters were that I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of humor, or at least no humor that wasn't obvious and kind of lame. But the way Yancey's talking about, there's a couple episodes that sound like they're doing the good thing with science fiction, where you take it and you use science fiction situations to explore the modern human condition. And even though he's doing it in a humorous way with jokes, supposedly they're jokes, I haven't watched the episode yet, it's still that's what really good sci-fi does a lot of the time is explore the human condition using fantastical situations. And it sounds like he's got that. So or got that sense of it. So I'm going to give it another shot. I'll watch a couple more episodes and see how it goes. But sorry, there's that cough. But I don't know. I'll report back. We'll see.
And you know what? Personally, I don't care whether it's up or down. I just don't want to be punched.
Some people pay good money for that. All right. Also for feedback, last time we recorded, Eli asked everybody if they participated in play and drama and stuff when they were in school or, you know, what extracurriculars they participated in. And nobody responded because, you know.
Eli's a nerd.
Right, exactly. But I did get two late responses. I went ahead and left it open, so if anyone wanted to, I could go ahead and put them in here. So the first one was from Iantha, and Iantha says, I know it's late now, but Paul and 3278, yeah, got to remember to pronounce it correctly. Those are Paul, Serious Paul and 3278 are guys that we've known from Bulldrek and just online friends for 2 decades now. And Paul is also married to Iantha, so there you go. Or are they married? I think they're married, yeah. She refers to him as husband, I'm pretty sure. All right, anyway, performed in forensics together as a team, and they were pretty darned good. I'm not surprised by that. Unbeknownst to me, we all graduated from the same high school, but they were 7 years ahead of me. I was hearing stories of their performances and ratings when I had speech, and it was pretty funny to realize that the bragging that I heard from their teacher turned out to be my best friend and his best friend. Huh, that is pretty cool. I want to tell a story about Jacob, but he's not even really here.
You could still tell a story about
Jacob. Well, Jacob was that kind of legendary when he was in speech and in one act. And
it is incredible.
Kind of
like he was pretty okay for most of the years, and then he hit, Elephant Graveyard.
Yep.
And he played the ringleader.
Ringmaster.
Ringmaster thing. How dare you? Anyway.
Ringleader sounds like a crime syndicate.
Anyway, but I played Spotlight. No one cares, though. I added the entire drama to the scene.
That's right.
Well, Jacob's acting.
If it hadn't been for you, that speech would have been a comedy.
Well, that speech would have been in the dark.
Yeah, well, no, that's true.
But no, he did this immaculate speech about what you do with a dead elephant. There was this insanity behind it, this darkness, this underlying, like, loss of self in the speech, and it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he was legendary.
And to this day, people that I and Jacob don't know will approach me and ask me if I'm Jacob.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
No, and there are people, even now, which is, you know, it's like 5-6 years later, there are people who will meet Jacob or meet Aiden and remind them of this performance, and oh my god, that was so creepy. That was so, it's a very much a big fish, little pond kind of thing.
If there were Oscars for one act.
Exactly. Well, there are Best Actor Awards.
Which he won every single year he acted.
That's true. So,
and
I know that feeling.
Didn't pursue it after.
Well, he did community theater for a little bit,
yeah.
But he also, I'm laying money he'll go back to it.
Yeah.
But he's gotten busy with other stuff with school and work.
Getting busy.
Shut up. All right, and then also responding to that same thread, Sarah Beth came in late and said, as I'm sure everyone knows, I did theater, school, and community from middle school on. Yes.
Oh yeah, and Pat was Mary Poppins not too long ago.
Right, and Pat
really?
Played Mary Poppins. No, they were doing the play Mary Poppins, and we were making a joke about Pat being in the play and playing the title role.
He'd be so
I'm
good
pretty,
at it.
I'm pretty sure he didn't. I think he was one of the kids. But, so anyway, it was. But this is Sarah Beth's letter. So let's get back to her words. I did theater from middle school on, including double majoring in it in college, and still do it with the Tully Community Theater. I did not know you took it as one of your majors in college. As for other extracurriculars, I did Model UN, Amnesty International, Science Club, choir for church and school and competition, and volunteer work at the Humane Society. Say it with me, Nerd. Yeah, you know what?
Conservation nerd.
I'm a little disappointed that those were her words. Say it with me, nerd. I'm a little disappointed you threw that in because I was actually building up to a big old nerd at the end of there, and you kind of spoiled it for me. But not surprised. What about you, Aiden? What'd you do for extracurriculars in school?
I did one act as crew.
Uh huh.
I did a musical.
Yes.
As crew.
Uh huh.
I did speech.
And you did
step
speech.
Only.
That's right. Well, you did improv, and you tried other things a couple of times, but
well,
mostly
I mean, I did improv until improv was deemed not good enough,
mm-hmm.
so they didn't serve improv. I did duet once with Melinda, which
yes.
was absolutely brilliant, but I could never find anyone to do an OID or duet with me after that point.
Yeah, yeah, that was your duet with Melinda was really good.
Yeah,
I really
still know
that.
It by heart.
So there you
yeah.
go.
I did wrestling in second grade. Does that count?
Ask me what extracurriculars I did.
With what? Yeah. What would well, you? What I
was it, with, the math club, the Latin club, and the physics club. Physics club.
Really?
No, that's a quote from Brian Anderson, the nerd from 16 Candles. He says, "I'm in the math club, the Latin club, and the physics club." Physics club. That's how he always. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So
nerd.
Ask me what extracurriculars I had in school.
What extracurriculars did you have in school?
None. I was not involved. I was a loser. So
you were beyond, like losers do like theater club.
Look, it would have interfered with my Dungeons and Dragons schedule. That's all I'm saying. So I played a lot of Dungeons and Dragons.
Like, did you have to go to, like, an AA?
Get with me, nerd!
I thought you weren't going to participate until your bit. Your secret bit.
Hey, don't talk about it!
Noah has a secret bit!
It's Fight Club. We can't talk about it.
Yeah.
All right. So, next up, updates. First off, I have an update on Jacob's garbage... God, I can't speak today. Jacob's garbage cat. That he found in the dumpster, and I talked about last episode, so 2 weeks ago I was talking about it. And at the time, he had had it for a week and had it checked out, and it turns out that in the intervening 2 weeks, he got it to the vet, and it is 3 years old, so it is not a kitten. I don't know if I told you that last time. And it also turns out that it had leukemia and a heart murmur, and so... he took care of it, he fattened it up, and then it started swelling up because it was retaining water, edema from the leukemia and heart murmur. And ultimately, he had to have it put to sleep like 2 days ago. So, yeah, I know. Rest in peace, Griffin. Very sad. We hardly knew ye. But she was a sweet cat. Oh, it was a girl, by the way. I don't know if I told you that last time. He thought it was a boy. He was wrong.
Because apparently he doesn't know what testicles look like.
It's not as easy on cats as you think. So don't judge until you've checked a cat's genitals yourself.
Really? When was the last time you saw yours?
So you know what? You're not welcome here. That's what I'm saying. So this is a sad moment about Jacob's cat, and you're ruining it with potty humor. All right? You're a bad person. Now, to finish the garbage cat tale, because now that Griffin is gone, sadly, it has led Jacob to realize that, oh, you know what? He could really use a cat in his life. That filled a hole in his life that he didn't even realize was there.
A hole in his lap?
Yes. And so, therefore, he's thinking about getting another cat, and so we had this whole plan that we would love to go out with him this weekend, even if he's ready for it, and maybe as an early Christmas present, we'll go check out the shelters, we'll find something for him, and we'll do this whole family thing. Well, we weren't the only ones to think about it because his ex-roommate, his parents have always been very close with Jacob, and they out of nowhere came up with, "Hey, we have a stray that's been around our house, and we just wound up catching it, and it seems to be doing okay. But boy, it really needs a place to live. You know, we'll pay for all the vet bills and everything if you're willing to take it in, Jacob." They just were looking for a way to give Jacob a cat, and so kind of stole our thunder a little bit, and a little disappointing. But hey, look, if he's got a cat, he's got a cat, and you know that'll work out fine. And so he's been debating on whether or not he should take their cat that, you know, they're bringing in. Because, you know, yes, I know shelter cats are already in a shelter, so they have a place to live, but, you know, a shelter cat still needs to go somewhere. They need homes. They can't stay in a shelter forever. So, you know, anyway, not to make comparisons. Either way, a cat's finding a home, and that's good. And then it turns out that they got in touch with him today, and it turns out that they don't have a cat for him because they just kidnapped their neighbor's cat and didn't realize it. So,
you mean catnapped?
Yes, they catnapped the kit. Kidnapped, I said. Kit. Okay. So,
Restoration 100.
Which apparently is a bigger problem than I realized, because my wife then, when she told this at school, there were other people that had stories of their kids bringing home some poor stray cat that they were afraid was going to freeze to death out there, and it turns out that no, it's just the neighbor's cat. You can't just go picking up every, because some people believe that it's still okay to have an outdoor cat, and you can't go around judging them and stealing their pets just because you don't think animals should be outside. I personally don't think you should be letting your cat go outside, but at least,
I'm not
going to
steal your cat for it.
Right. And at least, look, if your cat has had all of its vaccinations, so it's not spreading disease, and if it's been fixed, so it's not out there, you know, making more kittens, making more strays that could be a problem, then okay, you know, if you want to choose to have an outdoor cat, not a choice I would make, but a lot of people do that. So, yeah, don't go kidnapping someone's cat just because they like to let it go outside once in a while. And then also, that's the end of the cat stories, but also under updates, so I finally sent back all of Dave's stuff that he left in my car from Gen Con, which has been, you know, what, 4 months ago? And so I finally mailed it all back to him. And in doing so, I had to, because one of his boxes, the Small World box, the game box, didn't close right. And I thought, Jesus Christ, did stuff shift in here? Is it, like, all loose? And so, because sometimes that happens with my games. You stand them up on end, and then the pieces fall down, and now the box won't close right anymore. So I open it up. And it's like, no, the pieces are a little shifted, but they're not really causing a problem. Why will this thing not close? And it turns out I lift it out, and I don't know if you've played Small World, but Small World has a crap ton of tiny pieces, like lots of tokens. Lots of them. More tokens than most games. And
it's pretty much 100% tokens.
And so my question to you is, after you've punched out all of those tokens, who saves the punch-out sheets?
Ooh, I know the answer. I know
Ooh,
the answer.
No, wait. No, wait. Let me give the audience time to see if they can figure this out. Who does that?
With me.
Okay, Aiden, you have an answer?
Is it Dave?
Dave, the punch-out sheets are still... I'm like, I could throw away the punch-out sheets, and then the box would close properly. But, God, he's saved them for how many years? He must need them for something. I don't... Who saves the punch-out sheet? I mean, I love you, Dave. I do. But that's kind of weird. I mean, and look, and if you had a good reason for it, if there's something sentimental about it, I don't want to make you feel bad. It's your game. You do whatever you want with
it,
right?
Yeah, the punch-out sheets really mean a lot to
him. I don't want to be judgmental. Look, maybe he and his best friend sat down and they punched out those pieces together over a long 2 hours with a bottle of wine where they shared each other's deepest secrets, and it meant a lot to him, and so he kept the punch-out sheets. I don't know, all right? But it seemed a little weird. So, but again, you know, hey, you do you, man. If they're important to you, I don't want you to feel like you have to throw them away out of shame or something if they're important to you. Maybe it's just his OCD. Maybe he has a compulsion that he has to keep them for some reason. I don't want to judge. I'm judging a little bit, and I shouldn't. That was wrong of me. I shouldn't even have brought it up. Now he's going to feel weird about it. So anyway, updates. Deadpool is coming up. I keep telling you guys this every week.
Do you have to say that before every single bullet point?
Yeah, I love to say updates. So we're playing the Nerd Pride Deadpool. Get a list of celebrities that you think are going to die in 2018. Come share them with us. I've got 4 people now who have all submitted their lists for 2018 already. So it is not too late. I will probably do the draft somewhere. It's going to be somewhere between Christmas and New Year's, probably New Year's Eve. Now that we don't have to give, like, a week-long judging session.
So,
I'll probably just wait
till
right before the night of.
You make lists of people you hope die in 2018?
No.
Isn't that a little satanic?
No, you're thinking of Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, right.
No,
sorry,
Deadpool,
I always get those mixed
Deadpool
up.
Is just guessing who you think might die, not who you hope will die, unless you're Kaz. Kaz plays a list of people he hopes will die. mostly Republican politicians. He really does. That's his list. Is that because he wants a list of people that, you know, not only does he think might die, but also if they do die and he's getting points for them, he doesn't want to have to feel guilty about getting points. So he picks people that, you know, he doesn't care much for. So he picks Republican politicians. All right. Anyway, I think that is it for the prep work. Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh. Get the little mans out of the room and make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back, and I just looked at him and went, Rrr!
It's time for some nerd rage. Now, here's the thing. Saxon English is a great thing to learn from.
Yes.
But
now, hold on. Can I explain Saxon real quick?
Yeah.
Saxon does educational programs that our school uses a few of, and Saxon English, Saxon Math. And I don't know the English for sure, but I know math does this whole process of they introduce a concept, but then during the homework they review that concept, but they also review yesterday's concept and the day before. And so you get this repetition of material, so it's not...
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, so the English, it's basically you get new concepts, but then those concepts are repeated over a period of several days. And so when the test comes around, they actually only test you over stuff that's at least 5 chapters old, so that they know that you've had plenty of time to repeat and practice that material before it actually shows up on a test. So that's Saxon. So go ahead, Saxon English.
So in one for, like, lazier, laziest, it goes, Zeus is strong, Athena is wise, Bacchus is lazy. Now I'm like, okay, why are you adding a Roman god? Later on, there's another set, and then it says, of all the Greek gods, Bacchus is the laziest. And that's why I'm upset.
That is his nerd rage. He has been actually ranting about this at length because it's Saxon English. They're supposed to be educating us. They should know. Bacchus is not a Greek god. Bacchus is a Roman god. So he is actually very seriously upset with the Saxon program. Now, normally a good program,
yeah.
but on this one, they've really let us down. I feel like they're disrespecting your culture. How's that?
Yeah, they're disrespecting me.
Exactly. White people have it so tough. Darn it. So that was Noah's nerd rage. He's been waiting 2 weeks because I didn't record last week. He's been waiting 2 weeks to get that out because it's been killing him. Killing him. All right. And then that is the end of that. I think there might be something else before we get to the... Is there something else?
Is it time?
Well, yeah, that's the time. But did you have something before that?
No.
All right. Well, then go ahead. It's time for the...
Automatic.
Very nice. Here.
Woo! I don't
dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. The end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Yeah, I didn't do the hand gestures that time, did I? Huh?
No.
Yeah, you're kind of stuck that time. Jerk. Making fun of me. Oh, God, he's annoying. It's like, it's just out of the corner of my vision. Like, you know he's there. You can't actually, I'm not looking at him directly, but I know he's mocking me. So, and our first number is 51.
I'd argue that I know these intros better than you do.
51. Whoa, there it is. It's from Talvin. Talvin says, big city, suburbs, or country, where would you prefer to live? What about vacation?
I'd prefer to live in the country.
Would you?
Yeah.
Huh.
Somewhere out, a lot of room to just walk around.
Huh. I prefer the suburbs, even though I know suburban living is really bad for the planet. I know we are a blight on the planet, but man, the suburbs are really comfortable. Access to the big city, close enough to go in and do whatever you want, you know, when you feel like the entertainment. But also, you know, the clear skies overhead, the green spaces, it's just so nice being here, but not so far out that I'm in the country and that I need, I don't like the idea of it's going to take me 30 minutes to drive in just to go pick up something from the store. I like having, you know, having the basics close by and then more stuff available in the big city if I need it. But, you know, that's me. For vacationing, take me out in the country. Take me to a beach somewhere. Take me camping. Although I've had lots of big city vacations that I've really enjoyed, too. I don't think I've ever vacationed in the suburbs. 16.
That's a really good number. It's 4 squared.
No, it's not. It's 2 to the 4th power, dummy.
Actually, you can't say no, it's not, because I'm actually factually correct.
Yeah, technically correct?
Factually correct.
Oh. All right. Well, technically correct is the best kind of correct.
Yeah.
So,
it's from Phoebe.
This one's from Phoebe, and she says, what double feature would you most like to see advertised for the local drive-in movie theater? Okay, right now...
Rocky Horror Picture Show twice.
Right now, clearly, Star Wars Episode 8. The Last Jedi, because, you know, it's in theaters right now.
What double feature?
Oh, my God. All right. Which I would also follow it with, I'm torn. It's either 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which I'm really excited about seeing, or I have heard so much good stuff about Lady Bird that Greta Gerwig's coming-of-age story that has more fresh ratings on Rotten Tomatoes than any other movie ever. Like, it was, you know, 142 fresh ratings at 100%. And I love Greta Gerwig, and it stars Saoirse Ronan. Greta Gerwig wrote it and directed it. Saoirse Ronan is the star, and it's called Lady Bird, and it is a quirky coming-of-age tale that is semi-autobiographical. That's all I know, but I know everybody in the world loves it, and so I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Lady Bird. So you know what? As much as I really want to see 3 Billboards, let's make it Star Wars 8, followed by Lady Bird. That's what I would want to see. Now, unfortunately, the drive-in movie theater is closed right now, so... if it's going to be next summer when they're actually open, then I want Avengers of Infinity War and Incredibles 2. There you go. Number 97. There we go.
Oh, to inform the audience, that beep was Jacob informing us of a funny YouTube video.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You guys need me to share it with you?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's something you should watch in your free time.
Okay, cool. This one's from Kaz, number 97. Kaz says, the Renraku Arcology has just gone online. What members of your family are trapped inside, and who do you hire to get them back? Well, first off, it's probably Jacob and his cat. His cat, Moose, it will be the cat's name. I'm just guessing. He hates the name Moose, by the way, but we really like it. So Jacob and his cat, Moose, will be the ones who are on the inside. They've recruited him, and he didn't realize what he was getting into, and now he's trapped there. And so clearly, I am going to have to hire a group of hardened shadow runners to get him out.
No, but, wrong. You just need one Liam Neeson.
All right.
He's really good at retrieving people.
I will get...
not good at keeping them, though.
Kermit the Frog as Liam Neeson in Taken. If you watch the Graham Norton show, and I can't look, you guys know I suck at impressions and accents anyway, but go look. Graham Norton is a British talk show host, a late night talk show host, and he is really funny, and his show is super funny. I love his show. He does a panel style where he brings out the guests, and then they all just sit around and they drink wine and have conversations, and really funny. But he has Seth MacFarlane on regularly, and one of Graham Norton's favorite things to do is make Seth MacFarlane do voices because he thinks it's hysterical. And so he has Seth MacFarlane do Kermit the Frog as Liam Neeson in Taken, doing,
I don't know who you are.
Yeah, you don't know my name, but I have a particular set of skills. And then he goes on, and it's very funny. And so, but I can't do it justice I suck at voices anyway, and now I'm really sick. So go look on YouTube, Graham Norton, Seth MacFarlane, Kermit, Taken, I don't know, something. You'll find it.
Every single keyword you can think of.
Right. It's all there.
No, I want to do it.
Okay.
72.
72 is?
A good number.
It's not a bad number. 72 is from Phoebe.
Again!
How many grandkids are you hoping to have, if any?
16.
I would like to have, 8 to 10. I mean,
whoa, okay.
As many as they want to produce, I suppose.
You're asking at least one of us to have more than two.
Right. But that's, again, which would be nice, and I think at least one of you is going to have three kids. I think my guess is it's going to be 9.
One of you
will have only one kid, one of you will have two, and then the other two will have three.
Listen,
that's my guess.
All of us have lived together long enough that we know that we don't want to put our kids through that same 3 or 4 child household, because that's just hell in a handbasket.
How dare you?
I mean, the abusive parents take a toll, too, but,
look,
you get over the physical abuse real quick.
You're terrible. 8 to 10. 31. And 31 comes from... Oh, so close. There it is.
It's from Kyle.
It's from Kyle. Kyle
said it was from Kyle. Why do you have to...
If I offered you solutions and I offered you alternatives, why would you decline? Well, mostly because your ideas are stupid.
And also, Stephen Hawking had them first.
and that. 83. 83 is...
Not on the list. There it is.
It's from Kaz. And Kaz says, how do we keep you and Dave on task with Godball? First,
you don't.
You learn to cure the plague. And then once I've gotten rid of that, then I'll get on it. It turns out that, like any other project, it's going to have its ups and downs. And for me, at least, I've had a couple of really down periods. And I'm in the middle of one now because I've been so damn sick. But then I get back on it, and I keep working. And, I mean, one of the things I have to do is I've got to revamp the print and play, make sure the rules are updated, get the cards set up, and then I have to get a whole set made up, cut out, and taken down to the game shop, because the game shop is willing to playtest it for me. They'll even set up a whole night centered around it if I just get it done. And so that'll be the thing that gets me motivated to get back on the horse again, is I want to get that finished.
Well, there's a horse involved now?
Oh, my God, this game is so complicated, dude. It's actually...
Is it going to be like croquet?
No, it's more like water polo, except normally in water polo, the horses have a lot of trouble keeping their heads up while you're swinging those mallets. But, anyway, you'll see it.
I mean, don't they make floaties for horses?
Yes. 87 is also from Kaz.
I guess if you're good at the game, you teach your horse how to swim.
Or you're the god Poseidon, and then... You don't need to teach
them.
Then
you ride a seahorse.
Right. What are the seahorses called, Noah?
Hippocampi. They're literal hippocampi. Seahorses.
Yes. Which is also the name that they had when they were in the Dungeons & Dragons original monster manual, was the hippocampus.
Nerd!
It was my favorite monster. God,
really?
You know what? Yeah, you know what? I just realized, everyone keeps asking me, because I've more than once been asked, what's my favorite creature from the original monster manual? And no, hippocampus. The hippocampus, the half horse, half fish, I loved that thing. There was something about it that I just thought was super cool. I drew pictures of it. It's like the third pony in the triumvirate. You've got your unicorns and your Pegasus, and the hippocampus would be the third member of the triumvirate.
No,
if I could put some wings on it.
No.
Wings on it and a horn.
How dare
and
you?
And I could make a hippopegacorn.
How dare you?
Oh, my God.
No.
I know what Dothan's going to be riding when she hits level 12.
Unicorn, Pegasus, and Earth Pony, obviously.
Earth Pony is just a damn horse. Earth Pony is stupid. No.
And then when you get wings and a horn, you're an alicorn.
I meant...
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I meant the triumvirate of magical ponies.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying.
I am going to get... It will be, yes, a hippopecacorn. All right, it'll have the fish tail, the wings, and then the horn, it'll be an all-terrain pony. It'll be awesome. Yes.
It'll have six wheels.
Oh, we're done talking about it. 63. 63 is from...
It is from Kaz.
Kaz says, man, Kaz is killing it. Uh-oh. Hold on. God, can you believe it? The phone rings. It was Elizabeth. The robocall that tries to pretend like she's a real person. I hate that.
I always get Heather.
Yeah. Oh, Emily was my favorite. Emily was my first one that did the whole, oh, I'm so sorry. I was having a problem with my headset. Yeah, this is Emily. It's a recording. It's a goddamn robocall. And she's going to, anyway. So that was Elizabeth. She's the third or fourth iteration of this person. I told her to fuck off and I hung up. So, anyway.
Whoa. We don't use that word on this podcast.
No, you don't. Those are the rules. Kaz says, Fox TV is going to try a new X-Men television show. Give us the over-under on it making a full season. Well, seeing as how you submitted this question back in January of this year, and it's now 11 months later, it turns out pretty good. So, Marvel released Legion and Runaways, and there's one more in the trio of TV shows that are it's Marvel TV shows that aren't on Netflix.
Right.
It was Runaways, Legion, and if only I had a magic box that could give me answers to every question, but I don't.
Isn't that new X-Men show the one about the kids who find out that they have powers?
Isn't that every X-Men?
47.
47 comes from?
It comes from Ronster.
Good job, Ron. Finally made it on. All right, Ron says, have you ever read the books by Lemony Snicket or seen the movie A Series of Unfortunate Events?
Well, let me tell you about the show.
If so, what'd you think of them? Well, if you've been listening, you realize that I have. And I've read the first maybe five or six books. And
wait, how many books are there?
Oh, I don't know, 48? I don't know, 12, 15? I couldn't. Again, if I had a magic box that would answer all of my questions, I would ask it, but I don't. So, anyway, I've read some of the books. I really like them. I like the kind of tongue-in-cheek sort of meta commentary on language that it uses. I think it's really funny and clever that way. And I hated the Jim Carrey vehicle, the movie. I thought it was terrible. I thought it did a horrible job conveying any of that, whereas the TV show, which is on Netflix, is absolutely amazing and I think is brilliant at getting across the spirit and humor of the books that I so enjoy. I do. I am disappointed that
there's 13.
There are 13 of them. That would make sense. I am disappointed that the TV show lets on in the first episode that the children's parents are still alive. Spoiler. I did not know that because I did not read far enough into the books to know if that is true or not true of the books, because I assume it is, but I don't know. But now to see this background story of their parents, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it takes a little something away, but either way, still enjoying the TV show immensely. I think it was wonderful. So I really like Lemony Snicket.
85
comes from... It's from Phoebe. And Phoebe says, you have convinced me that Wonder Woman's omission of any explanation for Diana and Steve's overnight sailing trip across vast expanses of ocean is an annoying flaw in the story. However, if you were going to solve it in a way that would lead to some interesting new features of the Wonder Woman world, what would your preferred fix be? All right. I already covered this, but... Oh, do you have an answer?
Anyone who hangs out with Diana is chronologically immortal?
Right, except that it was important that they had to get to London right away because they had to get this information to High Command or whoever because there was a chemical attack that was imminent and thus...
What Wonder Woman hung back the boat and kicked her legs real fast.
Except, in an hour. Except that we saw her fall asleep, and then when she wakes up, Steve says, hey, we're in London.
Well, so, also, we don't know how far away the island is from London.
We actually do. Themyscira is within within Steve's plane's range of Turkey. Because he said he flew out of Turkey and then his plane crashed on their island, so it's somewhere.
No. We're getting mathematical on this.
Right, no, someone already did. That's where I got the information from. And so he says in the movie that his plane flew out of Turkey, and it's just a little two-seater or whatever it is. It's a small plane. And so the most he could have been is, I think, 185 miles from Turkey. So he's somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea, or the Black Sea, Aegean, whatever. But he's somewhere in that area, and thus, wherever he is, it's still a minimum, like a 3-week sail by sailboat. I mean, it's a minimum of 3 weeks if you're actually using a boat with a motor in it and could make some really good time.
But sails are way faster.
Right. Well, and Steve says, hey, we're in London. Thank God we hitched a ride with that tugboat. All right, there was a tugboat that happened to be traveling from Turkey to London overnight, and you just happened to catch a ride with them, and they happened to be able to make it that far overnight. So anyway, that was the problem. And so my solution, again, is I would have done an invisible boat. I would have, again, it would have been so easy to set up. They would have had one or two lines from either Diana's mom or her aunt that talks about the sailing vessels that they used to use, but they've had them here. They haven't left the island in centuries because of whatever, but these magical boats. Okay, there you go. And now you have a magical boat that has the ability to keep you hidden from your enemies. And so you wind up with invisible boat. And now their invisible boat with magic powers gets them to London overnight, and nobody blinks an eye because, well, a magic boat, of course. And then you then have, now that's World War I, invisible boat, but now in the intervening century, she's had some time to rework this, and the boat becomes whatever she needs for each age, magic. And so you then have the reason for bringing about her invisible jet, which always seemed so stupid in the TV show and the cartoons and all that, but you could work it in. And it would make perfect sense.
You know the worst part about the invisible jet is?
What?
There's no purpose to it if you can see her in it.
Right. It looks like she can fly like Superman, but in a sitting position. So, which is...
It serves no purpose for it to be invisible.
It does look really dorky. Well, no. It's a lot easier to spot a jet than it is a woman at that altitude. But, you know.
It's still dumb!
It's still kind of silly. But you know, look, in my take on this, its contents would become invisible. You would be invisible while in the jet. That only makes sense. So, there you go. There, 74.
74 is from?
74 is from Phoebe.
Again!
Yes.
She's rocking it.
Well, she said she was going to dominate, and she was right. Phoebe says, what is the relationship, if any, between the Borg and capitalism? Ooh. All right.
Boy, I have no say in
that. That is a good parallel to draw. But to me, the Borg is totalitarianism. The Borg is, I mean, it's just that. It's absolute totalitarianism. It's the ultimate totalitarianism because you no longer have any individual choice. It's the ultimate fascism, everything for the state. But I will, all right, I'll grant you that if you want to use it as an analog for capitalism, the idea that everyone must be assimilated, that everyone, the people are nameless, faceless cogs in this money-making machine that is our capitalist culture, I can, that sort of works, maybe. Because, well, I mean, all right, there's a lot of parallels to draw. All right, you know what? I don't think the Borg is about capitalism, but if you wanted to use it that way, if you were the person writing, or if I was, because this is actually a pretty good idea, if I was writing Star Trek right now and I was going to use the Borg, I would certainly try and make that kind of comparison. The idea that, well, except that I want it to lure you in, because it seems comfortable. It seems like it's granting you, you know, you want to join. It's not that you're being forcibly assimilated. You don't even realize you're being assimilated until it's too late. That would be a kindler, gentler Borg. That's the way I would approach it if I was going to do that way.
God,
yeah,
you know,
it's still fascism.
I have a new acoustic band, a kinder, gentler Borg.
Yes! Oh my god, Kindler Gentler Boring. That would be a great band name. 32.
32 is from?
Wow, you know what? Apparently this is all my plague needed was it, to record a podcast because my voice is feeling great.
It's from Kyle.
No. It's from Kyle. No, I'm kidding. It's from Kyle. Have we heard from Kyle yet this week?
Yeah.
Okay. Couldn't remember.
It's right there above Kyle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that we did. We heard that one from Kyle. We heard 31. Now 32 is also from Kyle. The world population has been destroyed by some superbug. Oh my god, that's what I have. And you and 5 other people were immune. Oh, that's not what I have. And need to repopulate North America. The infrastructure of the country is still intact, but not operating. You don't have to worry about bandits or looters attacking you. You can only pick the other 5 survivors from Joss Whedon shows. Firefly, Buffy, Angel, Dollhouse, or Dr. Horrible. Who do you pick and why? Ugh. Alright. Alright, first off, I need... If our goal is to repopulate the world, then the first thing I need is a doctor. I need a doctor that knows...
Horrible?
Not Dr. Horrible. As much as I would love to hang out with Neil Patrick Harris, even in that character.
What about Penny?
I
mean, he did say repopulate.
Right. Don't be weird. He has lots of strong female characters in all of his shows, so
yeah,
therefore...
Yeah, well, I've only seen Dr. Horrible.
And Firefly.
No, I'm not a loser.
Oh my god, you suck.
Firefly is only for losers.
Anyway, I need a doctor because I need someone who knows genetics in order to make sure that as we are repopulating, we are careful about it because, you know, we've only got 6 people. So the doctor I'm going to pick is, see, I was thinking maybe that doctor from Dollhouse, who was one of the dolls, and then, well, oh, spoiler. But because she did know high-tech medicine. But then I thought, oh, wait, Simon Tam knows more about medicine than anybody because, yeah, even though it's this old Wild West show and he's doing a lot of frontier medicine through most of the show, he's actually a highly trained space-age doctor and type. He's awesome. So me and Simon Tam, obviously. So now we need to do some repopulating. So we have to have some females for me and Simon Tam. And it can't be his sister. That would already be, as much as I like River, we can't bring her in because you got to keep the gene pool diverse. So Buffy, clearly. Kaylee. Which, I love Kaylee. She's already sweet on Simon, though. But, all right, we'll bring Kaylee. Who's that leave? Who do we need? Man, you are no help at all.
No,
all right, you know what?
Opinion.
You know what? You know what?
I've got my opinion, and you threw it in the trash.
No. I'm getting a Felicia Day. I will bring Penny over. And then, would it be fair to get another dude? I mean... You would think that no, I don't want to be sexist about this. 3 guys, 3 girls, and then we'll, you know, match up appropriately as the geneticist tells us is correct, because we are looking to repopulate the Earth. That is, we will make whatever sacrifices we need to get this job done. So, well, all right. Since we've got the entire Whedonverse open to us, you know, he's not as old as he comes across. I'm gonna get Giles. From Buffy, because it is the Whedonverse, and he is an expert on spooky, bizarre shit. And there's going to be a lot of spooky, bizarre crap that happens.
Oh, good. I'm glad you chose only white people.
Oh, you have been sitting back, freaking waiting for your moment, haven't you? Waiting for your moment.
No, I get it. Black people don't deserve to be in the new world.
Look, I love Zoe. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Zoe is awesome.
Yeah, dig yourself out of this hole.
No, I as much as I considered Zoe, but Zoe's main strength is as a military commander and a warrior. And we've already stated that there's no need for worrying about bandits or because we are the only people left. There are only 6 people
Wait.
Left on Earth. And while you can talk about a person as you know, being, you know, good genetic stock, that she's obviously healthy and all this, but that's not a the criteria here is we need to, well, I guess I picked Penny for no reason whatsoever. She's just cute. So I guess, oh man. All right. I got to throw out Penny and I got to take Zoe now. So I'm not racist. Are there any other people of color anywhere in the Whedonverse among the primary characters?
I knew that it was going to be slim pickings from the beginning.
Yeah, we're really kind of stuck on this one. I mean, what, am I going to take the black handler from Dollhouse? Do I got... Ugh. Can I at least get a white person with a Hispanic last name so we can pretend we're diverse? Do we have one of those?
Can I get a woman who's trans black?
Yeah, I got... Oh, this is... God darn it. Now, you know what? He tricked me into a racist question. This is Kyle's fault.
This is entrapment. That's illegal.
That's right. 10. Number 10. Oh, I can't believe. And you sat there and you waited. You waited. You didn't. You could have brought it up at the beginning and made me seem like not a racist, but you didn't. No, it's way funnier to make my dad a racist. Woo!
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Did you vote for Roy Moore, Dad? No, because I don't live in Alabama, okay?
But if I had lived in Alabama, I would have.
So,
thanks, Dad.
No, I can't even pretend I would have done that. This is from Kaz, and Kaz says, Kender, threat or menace? Yeah, the two choices are... Are they douchebags or dicks? Yeah, the
douchebag or a turd sandwich. I mean,
oh yeah, that's right, a douchebag or a turd sandwich. That's exactly right. Look, Kender are terrible. Kender are terrible. Look, if you're a big Dragonlance fan and you like these little substitute halflings because they felt like for copyright reasons they couldn't put Bilbo Baggins into Dragonlance, I get it. Okay, but. Kender.
What are we talking about?
Oh my god. Okay.
What is I've never heard any of these words. I don't follow Pokemon.
In the 80s.
Oh no.
Following the popularity of Dungeons and Dragons and specifically, well, anyway, they came up, there was a series of books called the Dragonlance series. They were very specifically Dungeons and Dragons books. But they were written in their own world of Kryn, K-R-Y-N-N, I'm pretty sure. Set in their own world of Kryn, it's a whole new world, and because they didn't want to be copying Tolkien with the hobbits, even though they're called halflings in Dungeons & Dragons, they came up with their own small race of people called Kender. And Kender are 4 foot tall,
okay,
have their hair tied up in a top knot, pretty consistently, and they are the super adventurous version of halflings. So super adventurous and with very sticky fingers so that they don't understand the idea
so
of individual
property.
They can climb
on walls and ceilings.
No, you know what I mean. But they're just halfling knockoffs. And now, to their credit, later versions of halflings in later versions of Dungeons & Dragons and ultimately Pathfinder have taken a lot of that personality from the Kender to make their halflings, so that halflings are not just, you know, 12 meals a day hobbits. But it's still, Kender are terrible. I never did like them. Even when I was reading the Dragonlance books as a teenager, I just thought Kender were just a terrible idea. So.
This is our second to last one,
65.
Like, I guess we'd do a few more after that.
No. We can stop there. So 65.
One more after this
is from
Walrus.
It is from Walrus. Hey, Walrus. Did I tell you Walrus is my new best friend in the world?
Yeah.
Oh, so cool. Way better than you. I was talking to Aiden. I didn't want to offend
at
you.
At least
you
I'm not racist.
And Walrus says, "So my doctor tells me I should get in shape, and I ask you, isn't round a shape?"
Yes, but it's not a healthy one for human beings to be in.
Thanks, Dad. That was funny. So, I did not think about just throwing out one-liner jokes as Podomatic entries, but that's pretty good. I mean, look, I'll tell you what. Everybody else, when you make your Podomatic entries and you send me like 10 or 12 at a time, throw in a couple of Dad jokes just for fun. Let's see what happens. Maybe I'll get sick of them. Maybe I'll regret saying this. We'll try it out.
05.
Last one, 05.
Beam us up.
And 05 is from? It's from Nana. Oh, it's my mom. Oh, that's so sweet. Nana says, what was your favorite toy when you were a young child, Aiden?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I know. Hard to remember last week, but go ahead.
It was this Tonka brand knockoff transformer that was also a fire truck.
Oh, God, that thing was so cool.
We still have it somewhere.
It was really cool. Look, these knockoff transformer things, and yeah, it was like a play school or something.
They stood like
some,
14 feet tall.
It was
14 inches, sorry.
Yeah, they were so cool because you would have a fire truck, and then it's like literally you hit one button, boom, and the whole thing flips up into robot shape. I mean, it's like one motion, and click, 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 all of a sudden it's a robot. And not like cheap McDonald's toys that pretended to be Transformers used to transform, but it's still really all you did was put arms on a truck. It's not like that. It was like literally went from it looks like a vehicle to it looks like a robot. All in one solid move. And there was a police car, and there was a fire truck, and there were others, but we didn't own those. Oh, those things were so cool. My favorite toys when I was a kid Legos were the longtime companion. I loved Legos of all sorts. Space Legos, Knights and Castles, Cars Town. I loved any kind of Legos. But my favorite toy...
She said when you were a kid, not when you're an adult.
My favorite toy as a kid was probably the gyroscope.
Oh my god, you nerd!
We didn't get the gyroscope very often. And when you got a gyroscope, it's like a slinky. It's got a limited life on it because as a kid, you're going to abuse it. And eventually, you're going to break a peg off or it's going to unbalance or the frame's going to get bent. And then you no longer have a gyroscope that works. But for that, you know, week or so that the gyroscope is working, oh, I loved a gyroscope. That was so much fun. It was like magic. It's like magic in your hands. And then you'd break it, and okay, now you don't have any more.
All right, well, we ended the Pod-O-Matic surprisingly at exactly an hour and exactly on number 15.
That was pretty good. It worked out really well for us. So, that just leaves us to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Raider. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. Wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Damn it, there is no Nerd Pride
Quality Network. Nerd content by quality nerd person.
Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd me. If you want to help us out, help out Nerd Pride Radio. Subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use and write me a nice review. Those things really make a difference if you give me 5 stars. You can say whatever crappy thing you want about me, but give me 5 stars. It helps the algorithm, lets other people find us. So if you want to do something super nice for the podcast, though, seriously, just recommend it to other people. Recommend it to your friends, because if you're enjoying it, you spread the word, you let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I always need you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions, topics for the Pod-O-Matic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, for God's sake, send it to me. I hate the grueling research. I need you guys to do my work for me. I'm not kidding about that. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me, come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, you send me a message. Well, that's me hitting Aiden because he won't stop mocking me. Sign up, send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world.
We'll have fun.
And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and Facebook and I post up, hey guys, I'm recording. Anything you post, I will read off at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. Oh, thank God. I thought I was going to cough again. Okay. So I posted up in my forums and said we're recording and that I had 3 of my sons here for questioning. Go. So it starts off with Eliahan, who says, this is Dave. Dave says, I want their review of the God Ball play experience. What did they like? What did they not like? What was their favorite moment from play?
I enjoyed it. Eli, you were the winner of our game. You could contribute.
I'm fine.
He's fine.
He's fine.
What was your favorite part?
Hitting Noah with a stick repeatedly.
Okay, that works. Was there anything that we need to fix, in your opinion, based on your very limited play experience?
No.
See, it's perfect. I told you. Noah?
Not really, besides the stick!
Right. And also, Noah thinks we need to add Bacchus as one of our Greek gods.
Dionysus!
Dionysus? Are you serious?
Yes!
I thought it was Bacchus.
No, that's what I learned.
I learned it in school. I'm pretty sure it said Bacchus.
Yeah, it did, because it was wrong.
And then Eliahead says, Happy Holidays. Next up is Flameblade, and Flame, who is Dave's brother. And Flame says, what is the probability of Kill This Thread surviving, given the Python distribution? I don't know what a Python distribution is. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's
hey,
poison.
Flameblade, you're a nerd.
Poison with, he can't hear you. It's poison what? With two S's. He can't hear you.
Oh.
He doesn't listen to this podcast.
Wait, then why did he contribute to listener?
Because he's awesome, that's why.
I mean, I guess.
So, well, he's a good friend, he likes to contribute, and he gives us things like the Python distribution. However that's pronounced. But Wikipedia, if we use this magic Google box, tells us it is often in English rendered as poisson. Sure it is.
Like that thing that I like to put cream cheese on?
Right. Yes, poisson with cream cheese is a discrete probability distribution that expresses the probability of a given number of events occurring in a fixed interval of time or space if these events occur with a known constant rate and independently of the time since the last event. Oh, that's a good question. Because here's the thing is that you would be better able to answer this. But here's the idea is that we have the you can't kill this thread, which means someone starts the thread and then if no one posts to the thread within 24 hours, then the last person who posted wins. And these threads will often last for sometimes days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months before finally it goes 24 hours without a post and somebody wins. The latest iteration of this concept is the Connor McThread of the Clan McThread.
Ooh.
Yes. I started that one and there can be only one. And as it turns out, that one just crossed the year mark. So that has gone a year, and the longest that anyone has ever gone the longest interval without someone posting was 20 hours and 46 minutes.
Wow, cutting it close.
Right, and I know that because Flameblade did all the math on it. He compiled all the information, and he's come up with how many people have posted, how many different times, and it's got like 4,000 total posts, of which 1,000 of them are mine. He did all these distributions on the intervals between posts and all this stuff. So he, you know what, Flame, seriously, you would be the one to tell us this. Because I don't know. The idea of the Python, however you pronounce it, distribution, is that, okay, if we know that posts occur on average at this rate, then what is the probability after X amount of time of that randomly, I mean, it's a constant rate, but it's independent of the time of the last one, meaning, yes, it's on average here. What's the chances that we will have an interval of 24 hours? And, you know, how soon can we expect that to happen? I have no idea. You're the mathematician, dude. But I would be really interesting to find out what the expected return on this is, because I don't see it ending anytime soon. But, you know, hey, what do I know? I'm only an amateur mathematician. All right, that was a long way to go to say, I don't know. But then DM Darks follows up that question with, what is the probability of surviving the kill this thread given the poison distribution? Depends on the time frame. Over the period of 24 hours, given the poison distribution in a kill this thread, you have, I think, 78% chance of surviving after a full day. And I think that winds up dropping at the end of 7 days to something like 2%. So, long term, not good. There you go. And then that's it for my forums. Let's go out to Facebook. And on Facebook, I have a lot of responses. Out here, I posted up and said, what did I say? I said, now recording episode 213, post anything and I'll put it in the cast. Also, what was your favorite book when you were 15 years old? And the responses start with my brother Kyle. Kyle says, when I was 15, it was probably Stephen King. Also, what's up with Roy Moore still not conceding? He's a delusional crazy person, right? Like certifiable Looney Tunes, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Roy Moore is an absolute nutbag. There's no, look, he's lost, and thank God he lost. But, I mean, he is, he has said Muslims should not be allowed to serve in Congress. He said gay people shouldn't have any rights. Women shouldn't be allowed to vote. He's clearly a racist. I mean, just an obvious racist many times. He was removed from his government job twice. Twice. A state-level government job. Twice he had been removed from office for inability to perform his duties. And all of that leaves aside the fact that he is almost certainly a pedophile. I mean, there is so much, there's so much bad about this dude, and the idea that he's not withdrawing at this point because it's a percent and a half off, and well, yeah, but you know, when all the mail-in and military votes come in, you know, if that comes down to a half a percent, then there's an automatic recount, and I might have, oh, shut up. There is no way, there's just no way. Yes, he's absolutely crazy. And, oh my God, when he said Muslims can't serve in political office, holy crap, this came on one of the late night shows. They showed a clip of it. I'm just amazed. Interview with a dude, and the interviewer, I can't even remember who it was. Jake Tapper is who the interviewer was. Jake Tapper, asses dude, who is a public servant. He is an elected official in Alabama, I think, and asked the dude and says, okay, so Roy Moore says that Muslims shouldn't be allowed to serve in Congress. Why, well, you know, can you defend that? Why would he say that? And he's like, well, of course they can't. Like, okay, of course they can't? Well, no, because if you want to serve in Congress, you need to swear in on a Bible, and they don't believe in the Bible, so therefore they can't be elected to office. Tapper at this point says, yeah, you know, that's because you choose to swear in on a Bible. You can choose to swear in on a Quran if you wanted to, or the Torah, or some other book if you happen to be an atheist or of some other belief. You can swear in on anything. You just swore in on a Bible because that's what you chose. And the guy defends it, and he's like, no, look, I swore in on a Bible. I did twice. And goes on, Donald Trump swore in on a Bible. That's how you do it. And Tapper stops him again and says, yeah, but that's because you chose to. You can swear in on any such book. It could be anything. And the guy was clearly stumped, clearly just had no clue. And he's like, you really did not know that until just this moment. Really? Like, yeah, this guy was so certain of this argument that he was willing to go, like an elected official, an elected government official who was so certain of the you have to swear in on a Bible, therefore you can't be elected to office unless you're a Christian. He was so positive of this argument that he had those libs right where he wanted them. This was his gotcha moment that they had never thought of that. Duh, of course, I've got them now. So positive, he was willing to go on national television to make that statement without getting it fact-checked by anybody. That's amazing. Oh my God. All right, so that's the mentality, and yes, Roy Moore, Looney Tunes, absolute crazy man. The fact that it was close, though, the fact that half the people of Alabama did choose to vote for a pedophile, because better a pedophile than a Democrat, the fact that that happened is still horrifying, but hey, at least we're on the side of right on this one. Oh, God, I just had to pause for like a 3-minute coughing fit. I don't know if I'm going to make it through these, but we're going to try. Next up is Yantha. Yantha says, The Lord of the Rings trilogy. I must have read through them 10 times that year. Oh, good answer. Good answer. I read Lord of the Rings first time. No, I read Hobbit first time when I was in fifth grade, and Lord of the Rings shortly thereafter, and yeah, also loved them. I think when I was 15, Oh, man. This is a bad question on my part because I didn't come up with an answer for myself. My favorite books when I was 15, probably also Stephen King. I read a lot of Stephen King along with my brother. But I was reading all kinds of weird sci-fi and fantasy stuff. No, you know what? Probably the Stephen R. Donaldson books, the White Gold Wielder series, the first trilogy of that, starting with Lord Foulsbane. Those were probably my favorite books at that time. But Dragon Riders of Pern is a close run for the money there. So anyway, next up is Nelly. And Nelly says, yes, I made it. And then wouldn't it be funny if that's where she ended it? But wait, she posts again a minute later and says, since we last chatted, I finished up classes. See, that's why she hasn't had time to talk. I finished up classes and I have life back. And I got a new position in my job. Basically, I run all social media for the company as well as convention presence. Sweet. That is awesome stuff. Nelly then posts again, one more minute later, to say, most importantly, I literally just left the movie theater after seeing Last Jedi. Have you seen it? No. No, I haven't seen it. And we probably won't see it until the week between Christmas and New Year's. We are so busy. It's going to be a while. And plus, I was too sick to do anything this week. I mean, I'm so sick. And so now this weekend, we've got this weekend we've got Christmas out at my in-laws' place, and then we've all got to work and go to school for the following week with midterms and all sorts of stuff, and then we've got real Christmas the next weekend, and then the following week, oh, maybe we can go the following week in between Christmas and New Year's. We can probably work something out. But then the weekend after that, it's great-grandma's 90th birthday, so we're going to be in Lincoln all weekend for that. So, oh, man, yeah, it's going to have to be during the week of between Christmas and New Year. So, yeah, it's going to be 2 weeks before I see it. All I got to do is avoid spoilers until then. But, man, what did you think? It was very interesting, so diverse. I cried so much when I saw – just when I saw a person of color and every other person was a woman. Awesome. I don't need to know anything else. So, but I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I am very jealous and – can't believe you're going to rub my nose in it like this because you're just mean. Oh, so next is Pat, DM Darks, and he says, I was probably the most into Elenium by David Eddings at age 15. Knights and church politics for the win. I still to this day prefer that series to the Belgariad. And hold on a second. Okay, I'm back. Whew, got my breath. Let's start over. Elenium by David Eddings. And then he says, I prefer that to Belgariad and Malorian, though they were also good. If it wasn't that, it was the various swords books by Fred Saberhagen. Oh, I've never read the swords books. But you did just remind me when you talk about church politics, knights, and all that, the Durini series by Catherine Kurtz, St. Cuthbert, and all of those. And there's a lot of those books. Loved those books. I thought they were great. So let's see. Last up is Nelly. Nelly said, I just got so excited that I didn't answer your question. I guess I really liked Harry Potter at that age. They were still coming out at that. Oh, I forgot you were young. And you know what? Harry Potter, couldn't agree with you more. Harry Potter is magic. Harry Potter has got Noah completely hooked. He loves Harry Potter. I mean, yes, he's in the middle of all the Percy Jackson stuff right now, but Harry Potter was huge for him. Eli, who is not a huge reader, like some of us, he is deep into it, reading for enjoyment, and he loves Harry Potter, so great, great series. And as much as I would like to go on, that is the end of them, and I have got to pause between every sentence to cough, so it is time to go. I love you guys. Thank you for showing up. I swear, as awful as I sound, I'm on the mend. It really, I can feel it this time. So I know I've said that before, but this time, I could quit anytime I want. This coughing thing, I say, you know what? I can put it behind me. I'll be done. Next week, I'll be great. Just in time for Christmas. It'll be awesome. So I'll see you guys then. Bye.